Good afternoon, everyone. I want to thank you all for joining today. I wanted to take a moment to address you after the events that took place on Saturday. Saturday night, our nation once again experienced an assassination attempt against the President of the United States and members of his administration, because an attack on the President is an attack on our entire republic. This is a matter of grave national security concern. This attack was at an event that members of the press are quite familiar with. It's an event to honor our country's founding principle of free speech in the First Amendment. It's an event where the fourth wall comes down and both the press and the people they cover come together to celebrate and recognize what has set America apart from the world since the birth of our nation. It was an event that drew the highest officials in our government. We had in attendance the president, the first lady, the vice president, the speaker, most of the cabinet secretaries, and some members of Congress. A deranged gunman breached the security perimeter and shot a U.S. Secret Service agent in the chest as he was charging away from a security checkpoint. This all happened before he was neutralized and detained by law enforcement. Now, by the grace of God, the agent's vest prevented a serious injury, and the shooter was taken into custody before anyone else was injured or killed. And I want to offer my deepest respect and my admiration for the courageous officers and agents who responded to the scene that night. The swift and heroic actions of the Secret Service and the DC Metro Police literally saved lives. Now, while they prevented bloodshed, there are other invisible wounds that have been inflicted on our country in the aftermath of yet another event. As I've thought about it through the weekend, I can't help but think of Erica Kirk, who was in the room, obviously visibly shaken. I think about RFK Jr. and his sister Carrie, who were in the room. They lost not just their father, RFK, but their uncle, President John F. Kennedy, to an assassin's bullet. And they're now forced to relive an event reminiscent of their relatives and their loved ones' murders. The surge of political vitriol and violence is a sickness in our country right now. And while I'm afraid some people are becoming very desensitized to it, because we're talking about this topic far too often, we cannot allow political violence and the threats thereof to become the new normal. It's fair to say that there are many contributing factors to this, but I strongly believe that Congress has an obligation to represent the change that our country needs. We must come together, all parties, Democrats, Republicans, even independents, and we need to immediately reopen and refund the Department of Homeland Security. Today, I sent a letter to Speaker Mike Johnson, and I asked him to put the Senate-passed DHS bill on the House floor for a full vote this week. There is no time for delay. And this weekend was yet another reminder of why our country is at risk. The American people entrusted the House and the Senate Republicans with majorities. And we have the mechanism to work through the reconciliation process to fund the outlying issues on immigration enforcement. But we should demonstrate to the American people that we are committed to delivering solutions right now. And 80% of the Department of Homeland Security, its funding could be signed into law by tomorrow morning, if we acted today. It's passed the Senate. That's a huge hurdle. It needs to pass the House before it can go to the president. I'm as frustrated as everyone else that the filibuster has allowed the shutdown of this department to drag on. It shut down the government for far too long last fall. But the fact remains that the Department of Homeland Security is a vital agency to our nation's safety that is responsible for far more than immigration. We should not allow another day to go by that the Secret Service and our counterterrorism units, they're not fully funded and operational. There can't be another cliff where people are going to worry about getting a paycheck, because even the president's emergency measures will expire by May 1st, by Secretary Mark Wayne Mullen's own words. The American people don't care about Washington, D.C. scorecards on who's winning and who's losing. They don't want to hear about Capitol Hill insider bickering. What they want is solutions, and they expect and deserve leadership, particularly in times of crisis and turmoil and division. The 260,000 men and women who work at the Department of Homeland Security want to do their jobs. They want to put food on the table and go home to their loved ones. And over the course of this 10-week shutdown, we have seen them put their dedication to the American people that they serve first. It's way past time for Congress to do the same thing. And I strongly believe there is widespread bipartisan support for this course of action. And if it was put to a vote, it would pass overwhelmingly. And I strongly believe in accountability and showing the American people whether or not you're part of the solution or part of the problem. This is the longest government shutdown in American history. It might not be a top of mind for everyone because it's one agency within the federal government. It's a record worthy of never coming up again. So we should work together, end the dysfunction, and hold ourselves to a higher standard. Set an example for the nation that we are worthy of representing them and that we are capable of coming together in service of our incredible country. People don't care if this is a which party, you know, got one up on the other, which House of Congress led the way, whether it be the Senate or the House. This is a solution that's within our reach. We should take it and do what's right by this agency and by the safety and security of the American people. So at this point, I would take any questions from the media.
Hey, Congressman, this is Rachel Knapp. Sorry, I'm trying to get my video. There we go.
Hi,
thank
Rachel.
You.
How are
hey.
You?
I'm good. Thank you. I was actually at the dinner this weekend. Me and Brendan, we were okay.
Glad to hear it.
Yeah,
but it was a very frightening moment. Just watch it. You know, I was receiving an award at home, so I did not accept the invitation to join you for the prom. But
yeah.
I just very alarmed, obviously.
Yeah, it was very intense. But thank you for taking the time to speak with us. I have a question. I guess just I'm curious, are you getting the sense or feeling maybe from your other colleagues that this incident might ignite a greater need to support the Senate's DHS funding measures?
Well, that's why I did what I did today to lead the way. I haven't had a chance to talk to any colleagues today. I came in this morning. I reported directly to the Rules Committee. But, you know, I felt that we need to take steps. So I penned a letter this morning to the speaker asking him to, I know there's a playbook here that we want to do it all at once and take this funding, which we know is going to have broad bipartisan support, and not pass it until the reconciliation's ready. We're a ways off on reconciliation. It's sad that we have to use a partisan tool like reconciliation to fund part of the government that should be a given. Immigration enforcement in this country, but sadly, that's where we're at. This isn't the path that we would have designed, but this is the hand of cards that we've been dealt. And we're only in this shutdown space because of the quagmire of hypocrisy that we've been weighed under that's led to shutdown after shutdown. And it's the arcane rule of the filibuster that I think needs to go. But the Senate leadership clearly doesn't agree with that mindset. We know this isn't a mess of our own making, but we have to clean it up and we have to be the adults in the room. And it's time that, you know, I believe that the Republican majority stand up and say, OK, we're going to get this done. We're going to get this problem out of the way. Enough. There's not some extra trophy at the end if we do it all our way. People don't want to hear this anymore. They want to end the crisis. We can end 80% of the crisis, which I think is a big success today. We'll go get the rest in the weeks ahead as reconciliation comes more into focus. It seems like there's still a rather a large amount of disagreement. But what happened at the correspondence dinner puts a fine point on this and another amplification for the American people that our homeland security is in question. Our Secret Service agents, many of which went a long stretch without paychecks. I mean, there's extraordinary measures in place because of the president's executive order, but that runs out. He doesn't have much runway left there. We can't allow that cliff to come and go again and expect this agency to be at top performance. And I think we've had enough performance from Capitol Hill. Let's just go get something done. And that's why I wrote the letter today and why I'm hoping to start a conversation within our party that we need to take the bull by the horns here.
Yeah. Thank you. I just have one quick question as well. I've noticed, and maybe other people have noticed too, that following the shooting incident, there was a lot of people saying online, this is staged or manufactured. And I guess I wanted to get your take on that. What do you make of those comments that people are saying that
I
this was
dismiss
staged?
those comments. I would imagine anyone in that ballroom is probably pretty dismissive of those comments. That's a real world situation, and real people's lives were at stake. I mean, this is clearly someone that was deeply disturbed and possessed. Sadly, he's an educator that is got deep derangement about the president and his administration, and we see a lot of that. Certainly, Congress has been dealing with its fair share of threats. All since the beginning of the Congress, and then even before that. But we are, there's also security holes. Not just the fact that he was a guest at the hotel and checked in. I mean, you don't get screened. Your luggage doesn't get screened when you're at a hotel. So, thanks be to God that this wasn't someone that had a weapon or a weapon of mass destruction in a suitcase in that hotel, sitting in there for days waiting for this event. I mean, I'm deeply disturbed on how many people in the presidential line of succession were in the room. I think that's of grave concern. And I think the administration and the Congress would be very smart to kind of put some guidelines in place as to who should all be together in the same place outside of the secure compound at the White House or the Capitol, where we know things are in order, let alone, just going to some hotel. I mean, it's you're never more secure than you are when you're at the White House. And I think you're really putting into question, the line of succession when so many people that are in that line of succession are in one place in an unsecure format.
Thank you. I have another question, but I'll wait for other
Okay.
people to.
We'll come back around. Next question.
Hi. I'm wondering, are you saying that the shutdown may have played a role in allowing this incident to happen?
No, what I'm saying is that it's time for us as the Republican Party to use this moment that we have another glaring homeland security issue at the forefront. We need to get our act together and go pass this funding, and we need to pass it now. And it has been a decision by Republican leadership to set this aside and wait for the budget reconciliation process to come forward. We have 80% funding that, if we passed it today, would go get signed into law by the president. What I'm saying is that we need to take this moment as a great reminder as to how there are lapses in security everywhere, and we can never rest on our laurels. We have overstressed this department, and its funding needs to be made complete as soon as possible. So we should move the bill, get the 80% complete and signed into law, and then, as soon as humanly possible, work through the budget reconciliation process, because we know we can't move forward in a bipartisan fashion on immigration enforcement funding. So that, no, I'm not doing cause and effect here. I think this should affect our mindset here on Capitol Hill. Enough screwing around.
Okay, so I mean, Democrats would agree with you. I know Tim Kennedy put out a statement on Facebook calling for the same thing. And you
Yeah, I'm
don't
very,
usually
very
agree.
partisan charged. Yes, I'm actually calling for bipartisanship right now and everyone to work together. But that's
Do you
rather
have a sense
naive.
you'll get that from the Republican side?
I've asked my speaker of my own party to move a bill that he's not prepared to mill. So that's this is me, I guess, strongly urging my speaker to do something.
Okay, thank you.
Next question.
Brian O'Neill,
Hi,
Business Letter
Congressman.
Guy.
Hi, Brian. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing well.
That's great. I was kind of wondering, you've talked about how your office has had threats and your congressional employees have too. Did that play in at all to how you felt on Saturday night when you found out?
I'm not going to equivocate what's happened to me or my staff to the fact that you had a live gunman,
Got it.
in threatening. This man has wrote a manifesto that I have not read its entirety, but I've seen snippets that he came there to kill officials in the Trump administration.
Sure.
That's that, that this is you know I've certainly had people that have used strong language and keyboard warriors behind in the privacy of their own homes. This is something that can't be underestimated what happened in terms of the significance. And you know it's the media you know Rachel was in the room that we heard from earlier. I mean they were there. You know they understand the chaos that ensues in this circumstance. But it's something that everyone needs to be take seriously at all times. We need to be extremely vigilant. And that's why we need the Department of Homeland Security to be fully funded as soon as humanly possible. And that's why I've taken the measures I've taken today.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question.
Congressman Terry Frank in
Terry,
Jamestown.
great to have you with us.
Yeah, I did want to ask a question because security has come up as an issue here. I heard a couple of reports and comments over the weekend and today with regards to the mode in which this would-be assassin traveled to Washington, D.C. via Amtrak. Should security be stepped up at Amtrak?
I'm not certain that those measures need to take place. I mean, you know, that you spiral into where you start thinking of all the what ifs. It really, I think, our biggest issue here, because he carried things that would not be necessarily against the law to take on Amtrak. The measures in place. If he drove his car, we would have never had the control. It's more about the security of things that happen around the presidents and large gatherings of government officials that hold the continuity of our government in place. And I think that it'll probably be a long time before we see a president in a hotel ballroom until they can get a more tightly controlled system in place. And you know the idea that you know all the circumstances hadn't really been reviewed. I mean that's deeply troubling. I mean we go back to Butler. I actually visited the site in Butler before I had the opportunity to question the Secret Service director as a member of the House Oversight Committee, and it was clear as day to me, and I think anyone that was of sound judgment on the fact that that rooftop should have been had personnel stationed on it, let alone sweeping it for potential threats. So we need, you know, the absolute strongest security possible around our president, no matter who the president is, and all the people in line of succession to the presidency. And we should settle for nothing less. But I don't think
Thank
travel
you.
across the country should come into question at this point.
Yes, thank you.
Next question. We could come back to Rachel if Rachel has an additional question.
I think someone named Nick is looking to speak, but I don't know if his
Okay.
audio is working right now.
Okay. Well, while he
So,
gets his settled, why don't we take your follow-up?
okay.
And then I'll go back to Nick.
Okay, yeah. Or I'll just suggest to Nick maybe in the chat you want to ask a question. But yeah, just you mentioned it briefly, so the ballroom. I guess I just wanted to get your point or perspective on this. Should the president have a build a ballroom on White House grounds? I guess just following this incident, because I know that he mentioned it in the press briefing afterwards.
I think the easy answer is yes. You know, the White House is obviously a huge central place in our government, and the president is the head of state and the head of government. They need to have large-scale events on premises, not just small elite gatherings. The ballroom that's proposed, funded with private dollars, is something that's going to hold at least 1,000. And I know there's lawsuits that have held things up, and I don't know if this venue would have been something that the White House correspondents could have used. It's a little smaller than what the crowd was that night, but this is a place that the president or any government official could go, and you're within the secure compound of the White House. You know, we obviously have King Charles coming to the country this week. Foreign heads of state often visit. And they can't include many people in some of these celebrations with foreign dignitaries because of spatial issues. The ballroom should happen, and anyone getting in the way of this is not just for President Trump. This is for every president in the future of our republic. It's America 250. The White House stays, the president leaves at the end. So every president has left their mark on the White House. The ballroom obviously is a big mark, but it is one that will add a venue on a safe, secure level for presidents going forward to host events that are of great national significance. So yes, the ballroom should move ahead, and if any other president moved forward with this under the same circumstances, they wouldn't have been opposed like this.
Thank you.
Is Nick got his audio? If not, we tried. And does anyone else have any questions for me? I want to say that I
Hey,
answered.
he put his question on the chat.
Yep, Congressman, his question is how would a fully funded DHS prevented the situation at the correspondence dinner, which I
And
need
again,
to.
I think I answered that before. I don't believe that that is the cause of why it's there, but it brings us to another moment of national security concern that, some of the same personnel that are showing up to respond in events like this have their salary in their office budgets, in their operational budgets continually under question. And they have been in this quagmire now for months and months and months. It's time that Washington gets its act together. I don't believe that this, I want to just be very clear that what happened on Saturday was not caused by the shutdown. But it's a great reminder for people in Congress who want, to have their way or the highway, that it's time. I think that the public wants us to work together and get this thing funded. So that's my point on the matter. Is there any other questions? Seeing none, I thank you very much. Greatly appreciate you joining me here today. God bless you all, and God bless America.